Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
To be honest with you, I really don't remember that much from middle school, and that's probably a good thing. But I do remember this specific day of middle school. We were actually in summer break, and I remember just being in Waynesboro, PA, just like a little small hick town in Pennsylvania. I remember it was a nice summer, hot day. It was awesome. And I remember getting ready that morning. I remember getting my towel out, my shirt on. I remember getting on my swimming trunks, and the very important patch at the bottom of the swimming trunks, square little patch, said Northside Pool. Because it was pretty much the only thing to do in Waynesboro, you know, in the summertime. So I remember, man, I was excited to go to Northside Pool that day. I got on my bike. That was the only way I had to get around. I had to go down one hill and up four hills to get to Northside Pool. Now, there have been amazing economic developments at this time because you've probably heard stories where people had to go uphill both ways, all right? Not me. If I went uphill one way, it was downhill the other way back, so it was good. But I remember getting into Northside Pool, getting off my bike, putting it into the little bike rack thing, locking it up, you know, showing the little patch, woo, yeah, and walking in. Now, where Northside Pool was, it was really cool. There was only one tree near where the pool was, only one. It was the hot spot, and you wanted that spot because that way you had enough shade, but it was still hot. It was a good place. That's where you wanted to be. The people I was meeting and hanging out with that day just so happened to already have that spot underneath the tree. I was just like, jackpot. And I remember just being there and hanging out or, you know, swimming, having a good time. I don't remember any of their names except one of them. His name was Kevin Riley. I did not ask his permission to share this story, but I haven't seen Kevin since middle school. So if you're watching, Kevin, I'm sorry. I hope you're doing good. But I remember being there, and I didn't have a lot of friends, but this group of people I was around, they were all smoking. Everybody was smoking but me. And I remember just being there, and I was, going back and forth, what do I do, and I wanted to be cool, I wanted to hang out, I wanted to be with this group of people, so everybody was gone, everybody was swimming except Kevin, and we were right there, and I was like, hey, Kevin, can I have a cigarette? He was like, yep, here you go. And I remember in middle school taking my first puff of a cigarette, and then the 5 minutes after that, hacking my lungs out from that first puff of a cigarette that I took. But so I remember that vividly. I don't remember a whole lot from middle school, but I remember that. Now, if you fast forward about 15 years, it's now 2002. I'm now living in Myrtle Beach. I've been connected into this church for about 3 months. I had not given my life to Jesus yet, but I was serving in Big House, our children's ministry. I was getting connected with people, but I was so afraid to let people know what I was doing and how I was because I thought they'd kick me out of the church. And I loved what I was doing here, so I wouldn't say anything. And I remember one Sunday, Jeff gave a very powerful message, as he usually does, and it just led me to know Jesus as my Savior. And I remember that day vividly, and then I remember praying. I was like, God, please take away, you know, the alcohol and the drugs. I don't want that anymore. And he worked on that. And then the Monday, I remember, because I was Christian on Sundays and Mondays, right? Some of you are, hopefully that's not you. But I was Christian on Sundays whenever we were here at church. And I got to do Big House. And then Mondays, because that was Big House practice. Every other night of the week, I was drinking and I was, you know, getting high. And it was just crazy. And I remember on Monday, I remember praying to God. I was like, God, thank you so much for saving my life through Jesus. And I was like, but please, the people I'm hanging around, I'm not going to be able to go anywhere in life if I continuously hang around these people because I want to drink and I want to do drugs and it's all I want to do. And I was like, please put people in my life. People I was already surrounded by, but I was just so afraid to ask them to do anything because all I knew was how to party. And I was like, man, they won't accept me. And I remember that day. It was the quickest prayer God ever answered for me. You know, I got a phone call that day, that Monday, and it was Kevin, different Kevin. That would have been really cool. But different Kevin, Kevin Godwin, who a good friend of mine, he's now moved away. But he calls me up. He's like, hey, Skip, do you want to go rollerblading? And I said, yes. Now, to keep it PG, I did say a swear word prior to the yes, but we're keeping it PG today. But I was so excited that he asked me to do something. I was like, yes, when, where, you know, absolutely. So we got all the details. I hung up and then I realized I've never been rollerblading in my life. And I remember going to, it was like Sports Authority, I think it was, over here. And I got some rollerblades. And then we started rollerblading. We started hanging out. And a couple other guys got involved. And then all of a sudden, I slowly stopped drinking. I slowly started doing drugs. It was just incredible. Because I found myself on a road going a direction with people of the direction I wanted to go, if that makes sense. Now, they were way farther up the road than I was. But in order for me to get there, I had to be on that road. I had to be on the same road. So it was so powerful. So today we're going to be talking about something that it's not new news. You guys know this, but relationships are powerful. It's why if there are kids in your life, you know, if you know middle school students or high school students, or it doesn't matter if you're a parent or a grandparent, you freak out over who it is your kids hang out with, because you know who your kids hang out with will determine, will be a huge factor on the quality and the direction of their lives. And you know this, and it's one of the reasons why. And I love our students. They're down here in the front row. I love you guys. You guys rock. But they've heard me say this before. In fact, they might throw up from me saying it again. But if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Right? Oh, some of you are like, oh, I got to write that down. That's good. Yeah, that's, I'm going to use that later with my kids, right? But it's so true. And the thing is, we know this, right? And if you're here today and you're not a Jesus person, you're still trying to figure that out and you don't believe the Bible's true, that's okay. We're glad you're here. You're more than welcome to be here. But even if you don't believe the Bible's true, I'm willing to bet you would agree with these two verses that we're going to look at today. And these are two verses that are going to be part of our C group discussion in the app this week and when you get with your C groups. But the first one is from the wisest guy who's ever lived. His name is Solomon. And he came along and he wrote this. He said, walk with the wise and become wise. And for some of us, we know that that's true, right? If you want to be better with your finances, you hang around with people who are good with their finances and you become smarter with how to handle your money and all that. If you want to be a better golfer, you don't hang out with me. No, you hang out with other people much better at golf than me and you become a better golfer. So you just walk with people who are wise going in the direction you want to go and you just naturally become a wiser person. But Solomon's not finished. He says, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know, so if you hang around with people who are fools, which basically a fool is just someone who knows the difference between right and wrong and doesn't care. If you hang around with people like that, you will suffer harm. And see, even if you don't believe the Bible's true, you would probably agree with that statement. And then Paul came along and in 1 Corinthians 15, he said this. He said, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character, but they make good music. If you're under 35, you didn't get that, you know, but that's all right. You know, go. Bad companies are rock groups. You know, the bad company corrupts good character, but rock on! No. But bad company corrupts good character. And here's the thing. We all know this, don't we? I mean, I bet all of us understand how powerful relationships are, because I'm willing to bet that for some of you, maybe most of us, your greatest regret is because of a relationship. Right? I mean, just think about what some of your greatest regrets in life are. I'm willing to bet it had something to do with a relationship. Something that someone introduced into your life. A phone call you wish you never answered. A job interview you wish you never went on. A date you wish you never went on. Someone you wish you had never called back. I mean, all of us probably know of a time where it's one of our greatest regrets in life, and it's because of a relationship, and we understand how powerful relationships are. So it's just leading the question that we're going to be asking today is, who are you growing with? Who are you growing with? Because the thing that's true for every single person in here is we are all growing all the time. But who is it you're surrounding yourself with, and how is that affecting your growth? And which way are you growing? Because here's what's cool. I've been in ministry for almost 15 years. And it's so cool. If you've ever been here for one of our baptisms, I mean, you hear all these awesome stories about how when people share about their faith story, you always hear about relationships. Always. Now, a lot of times God can reveal himself to people alone and they discover Jesus, but you never get the full story as far as a whole filled life of Jesus and there aren't relationships involved. It doesn't happen. You always hear about, you know what? I was going along and I met this guy. I was going along and I met this girl, you know, I went to a youth camp, some of our students went to a camp last year. Some of the stories out of that were just absolutely amazing, which, by the way, quick side note, if you are a parent of middle or high school students and you do not have your kids connected into our Crossroads Youth Ministry, please, you are doing a disservice to your students. I promise you. You want to have them here on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 with this group of students who, trust me, they don't get it right all the time. They're students. You didn't either. But these are a group of students who just love Jesus, trying to figure out this thing called life together. There are amazing leaders. I don't see David and Kelsey and all them here in Cameron, but amazing people just pour into them. You need to get your kids involved with Crossroads. They always sit up front. If you want to hang out with them, they can come down here every Sunday. You guys rock, because I love you. Sorry. All right, back to the sermon. But if you have middle or high school students, seriously, you need to get them involved in Crossroads. But there's all kinds of amazing stories when you hear about someone's faith journey, and they always have to do with relationships. Now, being in ministry for 15 years, I've never heard this. Now, Jeff and Randy have been in ministry a lot longer, like 200 some years or something. Don't think I'm not paying for that one later. All right. But, and so they may have heard this, but I know I have never heard this. I've never heard anyone say, in isolation on my own, I discovered God, grew in my faith with God, and became all God created me to be all by myself. I've never heard that. Ever. You always hear about relationships when it comes to someone's faith journey with Jesus. There's always relationships involved. And here's what's true, is that God uses human relationships to impact our lives and to spread the message of Jesus. Now, maybe you're here today and you didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that God looked down and he was like, I need to show the world how much I love them. So I'm going to send my son. His name is Jesus. He's going to live an absolutely perfect life. He's going to be crucified, tortured, death on a cross as a criminal to save their sins. And then the plan for that message reaching the world is you. It's you. You, 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 me. His plan for that message and the love of Jesus reaching the world was us. Now, God is awesome. He could have done this any way he wanted. But he was like, no, this is how I want to set it up. I want to set it up that the plan for the message and love of my son going through the world is the people. That's how. And Jesus, one of the last statements he made when he was on this earth, he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, for some of you, it's a weird word. You say, oh, I'm not a disciple. I'm a Christian. And it's not really possible. But, if you don't know what a disciple is basically just a personal follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. So if you say you're a Christian, that means you're a disciple, which means you go and you make disciples of all nations. That's what God's plan was. So here's, and this may be a bit shocking. You are plan A. There is no plan B. There is no other plan that God has for the message and love of Jesus reaching the world. It's us. For those of us who would say, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jesus follower, I'm a disciple of God, you know, the plan that he gave us was that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we are supposed to do. Now, the cool thing is this is all about relationships. And he didn't leave us hanging on this one. Jesus modeled what it was like to be in a group of people with the purpose of fulfilling God's plan. So as we are kind of launching C Group, and we're not really launching C Groups, you know, Jesus did it. We're just picking up on it. So it's not something that we're launching. But when we look at the life of Jesus, he specifically chose the people he was going to hang around. And it doesn't mean that all people weren't important. It didn't mean that other people weren't going to do great things for the kingdom of God. But he specifically chose the people that he was going to hang around. And this is what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes today, because maybe it'll help us with some insight with our lives with, man, who is it we're surrounding ourselves with? And are they helping us grow in our relationship towards Jesus? Or are they helping us grow in our relationship away from Jesus? Because there are no neutral relationships. None. They are either helping you grow towards Jesus or away from Jesus. It's the only two options. So maybe as we go through this today, it can kind of help us understand, man, who am I growing with and which way am I growing? The first thing we see with Jesus when it came to the people that he was going to surround himself with is he prayed about it. It says this in Luke 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountaintop to pray and spent the night praying to God. Thought I clicked it. There it goes. Go back. When morning came, he called his disciples. Now, for those of you who think there were only 12 disciples, that's not accurate. There were lots of disciples because a disciple is a follower of Jesus. So there were lots of disciples. In the morning after he prayed, he calls all these disciples around. And then it says he did what? He chose 12 of them. He chose 12 of them. So let me ask you this. With the people that you choose to associate yourself with and you hang around, have you ever prayed about how they help you grow? Have you ever prayed about, man, the people I am choosing to be around, man, do they help me grow in my relationship with Christ, or are they helping me grow away from my relationship with Christ? Have you ever prayed about the people that we choose to associate ourselves with? Jesus did, as part of the model that he set up. He prayed for the people he was going to associate. Now, once again, it didn't mean that the other disciples were mush or that they weren't important, but he prayed about, all right, these are the 12 that I'm going to pick to walk with me for 3 years. The next thing we see is he proactively chose his friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of my Father, my Father will give you. So he's like, he was proactive with who he chose to be around. So Jesus didn't, you know, pray and then come down and be like, all right, you. He didn't do that. He was proactive with the people that he decided that he chose to be around with the 12 disciples. Next thing we see is he chose those he could share his heart with. And then he says this in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, let me ask you this. With the people you do associate yourself with, are you honest with them? Do you share the good times and the bad times? I mean, are you surrounded by people who share their heart with you? I mean, it's part of the model that Jesus set up that, hey, you know what? I'm going to pour out everything to the ones I'm around. And he was selected with who it was. He was like, I'm going to do that. Do we do that? Are we completely open and honest with people that we hang around? Next thing we see is that he chose those who could be challenged. And we have a really, really bad view of Jesus, I think, in America. We think Jesus didn't offend anybody and we're so afraid to offend people. Jesus offended people. All right. Now, he did it in a way that was very loving in order to bring them into relationship with him. We kind of do it the other way, but he offended people. You may have heard this story or not, but one time this rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. And if the Bible says you're rich, you're rich. All right. So just imagine how much money you would like and then like multiply by like 10. I mean, the dude was rich. This rich guy comes up to Jesus. He's like, how do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? And then this is what Jesus says. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And if you don't know the story, this is what happens. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus responded, wait, dude. I'm sorry if I hath offended you. I was just kiddingeth. Come with us and bring your checkbooketh. Now, if you bring your Bibles to church like I tell you to every time I'm up here, you know that's not in there. And of course, if you're under 30, you're like, what's a checkbook? But, all right, he didn't say that. You know what he did? He let the dude walk away. He didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry I offended you. Come on back. I didn't realize you could finance my ministry for another 3 years, dude. He let him go. That was offensive. And yet we think, oh, no, Jesus, oh, he's never going to offend anybody. We can't offend anybody in our world. No, I mean, he offended people. And the people that he chose to be around were people who could be challenged. Jesus looked and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? In which the disciples were amazed at his words. And then Peter responds by saying, we've left everything to follow you. I mean, they knew that there was a cost at following Jesus. They knew it was going to be a challenge because Jesus taught some really challenging and some really tough things. So he made sure the people that he chose to be the 12, the group that hung around with him for 3 years, that they could take his hard, challenging teachings. Let me ask you this. Are you around people who will challenge you? Have you ever challenged somebody else in their relationship with Jesus? Are you in a group of people that will kick your butt when you need it and then give you an ice pack and help you through it? Are you? I know, goodness, I'm probably more jacked up than most people in this church. But, and I mean, seriously, I got issues. And, there have been several people, I mean, and it's way too many to name, people in my life that have been there during really, really difficult times. I won't answer their phone calls and they'll show up. You know, I don't know if you have anybody like that, but if you don't, you need them. Where it's just like, no, I don't need that right now. I don't need that right now. And then they're there. And I remember, Shannon and I mean, our marriage was literally on the rocks. We were about done. And I remember a buddy of mine, Ryan, he lived in Colorado at the time. And he knew we were having issues and he knew we were about at the end and he knew I was really, really struggling. And I didn't ask this dude to, and he flew from Denver here for a weekend because he knew, I needed some help. If you don't have that, my goodness, you're missing out. You are missing on how to grow. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be times whenever things are going to get tough. There are going to be things in your life that are challenging. And you need people in your life that can challenge you, can whoop your butt in love and be like, let's get through this together. You know, we're not going to let you go down this road. We're going to help you through this. And you need to be with people where you have the opportunity of doing that for as well, where you are pouring into each other. It's absolutely amazing whenever you have that. And Jesus made sure that the people he was around, that they could take the tough, challenging things and that they wanted to be challenged in that way. And then the last thing we see, and honestly, I think this is the hardest one, this last one, is that Jesus chose them in order to send them out. He says this, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Now, to me, this is one of the hardest things, you know, to know the fact that the whole point of being together is to eventually not be together. I mean, it's one of the most difficult things. I saw a real good friend of mine. He was at the early service. I don't think he's here now. Jeff Boardman. One of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. It was very, very, very difficult. Is we were in a group with Jeff and Amber Boardman at the time, and we knew people who needed something like that. And as much as we loved Jeff and Amber, and as much as we grew so much in that group, we were like we just have a heart for other people to experience what we're experiencing. And then we went out and launched another group, and we've done that a couple of times. We're in a couple of groups, and one of the most difficult things I've ever done. But can you imagine the disciples being there? Jesus nailed to a cross. They see him die. They see him rise again. They have breakfast with him a few days later. Not making that up. And so they're there. They see all of this. Eyewitnesses, they experience all the miracles, all the amazing teaching, and then all they do is sit around in a group, man, do you remember this? Do you remember this miracle? And then never went out and did anything else. Can you imagine what would have happened? Nothing. He chose them in order for them to be sent out. It is part of the plan. It's why Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, this, like I said, the secret theme that we're launching, this isn't something that we are doing. It is what God designed. It's how Jesus modeled it. And if you know a lot about the life of Jesus, you'll see, even though he had the 12, he also had a specific 3 that he poured into a little bit more. You know, whenever he went into to heal Jairus' daughter, she was about 12 years old, she died. He turns around to the disciples, turns to the 12, says, Peter, James, John, come on. He's up on the mountain of transfiguration where he's transfigured. He looked, before he goes up there, he looks at the 12 and says, hey, Peter, James, John, come on. You know, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And then he turns to the 12 and says, hey, Peter, James, John, come on. And I'm just like, isn't that a bit unfair? Right? There's 12 of them. Put them on like a 4-team rotation. Everybody gets a shot at something, right? But he didn't do that. It was Peter, James, and John. And there's real smart people that really probably know a lot more why. I don't know why he chose Peter, James, and John, why he picked those specific 3 to pour into, but he did, and it's just like, yeah, it's a pretty good model if it was for Jesus. And some people say it's because, you know, Jesus loved them the most. I don't know if I buy that. I don't, but I mean, I know some people say, hey, it's even written in John, John, the one that Jesus loves. Who wrote that? No. So look, it doesn't say John, the one that Jesus loves, and he didn't love the other 11. All right. It doesn't say he loved them all. They all had a purpose. They were all part of the plan. But Jesus, he very prayerfully selected the 12 and through the same process had the three that he poured into a little bit more. It's why as we are doing secrets, we're like getting groups of no more than four, because it was the model that Jesus set up. And you guys just pour into each other. But for each of us, we need to ask ourselves the question today is who are we growing with? The relationships that we're around, the people that we are choosing to be around, is it helping us grow in our relationship with Jesus? Or are those relationships helping us grow away from Jesus? Now look, please don't hear me saying all of us Christians, we just need to move to Bismarck, North Dakota. And is it North or South Dakota? Whatever. That we need to just move up there and just be a whole happy colony of Christians up there all by ourselves, because we don't fulfill the plan that way. Because the plan was to make disciples of all nations. Okay, so I'm not saying we don't go out to people who don't know Jesus and we don't spread the gospel. Don't hear me saying that. But come on, honestly, if we're honest with each other, we know that there have been times we've been around groups of people and we aren't strong enough to say no. Right? I know for me, with my struggle with alcohol and drugs, you know what? I had to say no to a whole bunch of people I really loved. And be like, you know what? I can't go to bars because I can't say no. You know what? I need to distance myself from them, get connected with a group of people going in the direction I want to be. That way I can share the gospel with them the way I need to. And most of us have probably had a time like that. So who are you growing with? As we kind of enter this time, the praise band is going to lead us in a song. This is just the most important time of the entire day, because this is the time where whatever God is speaking to you, whatever he is stirring in your heart, you have a chance to respond to your Heavenly Father. Are there some people you need to pray about? God, are these the people that I really need to be associating myself with right now? Are they helping me grow closer to you or farther away? God, are there some people I need to be proactive? You know what? I really don't want to ask them because I know they're going to help me with some hard stuff. And I really don't want help right now, to be honest with you. Are there some people that you need to pray about? I need people in my life that I can truly share my heart with. God, will you reveal to us just people that would be willing to be with us consistently, who would challenge us when we need it? I don't know about you guys, but I've been in a lot of groups. It's so awesome because there are times where, you know, I'm a part of making other people better. And then more times than not, there's other people helping me get better. And it's so powerful. It's amazing. And as followers of Jesus, we should be seeking out this plan. We should be seeking out, God, how can I fulfill your plan in my life, which is to go and make disciples of all nations? How can I go and be a part of that? Have you ever thought how cool that is, that the creator of the universe chose you to share the message and the love of Jesus to the world? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, creator God, created everything, breathed out stars, could have chose any way to share the message and love of Jesus. He chose you. He chose me. But it all starts when we realize the relationships that we have around us. And are they helping us grow and becoming and fulfilling the plan that he has for our lives? Or are they not? Because it's the only two options there are in our relationships. So as we're led by our praise team, this is your time just to respond to God. If you want to stand up, if you want to put your hands up, if you want to come down to the altar and pray, this is your time to respond, to maybe ask forgiveness for something, maybe to ask for wisdom for something else. But this is your time to respond to your Heavenly Father with, who is it I'm growing with? And I can't help but think that as we are talking about just how powerful relationships are today, that there may be someone in here today who doesn't yet have the relationship with the most powerful thing you need in the world, which is a relationship with Jesus. That there might be someone in here today who just maybe until today, you just never realized that God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to this world to live an absolutely perfect life, to be tortured, spit on, nailed to a cross, to die for your sins. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that 3 days later, he was risen from the dead and is alive and well. And that the relationship he wants more than ever most is you. That he so desperately wants a relationship with you. And if today you have realized that, you know what? I've been hanging around with the wrong kind of relationships, and the main relationship I need right now is a relationship with Jesus that will turn your life upside down. That it doesn't mean you're going to live a perfect life, but you are going to live forgiven and free and with the best, to the best of your ability, walk in the footstep of Jesus, going to be able to make disciples of all nations, which is your plan. And if today is your day and you've decided, you know what, the relationship I need most today right now is Jesus, we just want to celebrate that with you. If that is today, and if it is, yeah, if you just put the lights up, just want to see, just throw up a hand real quick. If today is your day that you have decided that the relationship with Jesus, you are accepting it today. I can't see. Yo, where? Right there. Woo! Woo! Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anybody over here? Today's your day. We just want to hoot and holler. We just want to love on you. Come on, just throw a hand up. Anybody up here, up top? Anybody up there in that section there? Just put a quick hand up. Anyone down here, middle section? Today is your day. What about up top in the middle here? Anybody there? What about the far side over here? Anybody there? Down here, today is your day. All right, hey, can we give God a hand for our brand new brother in Christ? You are why we do what we do. Thank you so much. We love you, man. Seriously, if today is your day and you were just like, that's too weird, kind of freaky, not put my hand up, the most important thing you can do is just head right over here to where this prayer booth is, because we want to give you a Bible. We want to help you in this journey on the road that you are now on, going in the direction that you want to be going. So if that is you, please head over here. If you're next to someone who put their hand up, or just ask them, do you want me to go over there with you? I'll go with you. Please do that. We are so, so blessed that you guys were with us today. Just as part of our worship on the way out, you'll see people stopping at some of these green boxes. It's just where people kind of give some of their tithes and offerings. So we just want to invite you to do so if you would, if that is on your heart. It's just part of our worship back to God, of giving him everything, giving him a part back of what he's blessed us with. But we are so thankful you guys were here today. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week for part 3 of the Master's Plan. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.